Well, God bless your wonderful hearts in the name of Jesus Christ. Thankful to be with you today as we get into the greatness of God's Word. You know, it's the nature of man to look at the outward appearance to determine the inward value. How we value ourselves, we call self-esteem. We're all interested in our self-esteem, self-value, self-dignity. And it's important because how we feel about ourselves determines our happiness and our personal success. But it's man's nature to measure his inward feelings of success many times by what he wears, what he drives, the house he lives in, the job he holds, a lot of different things. What's in his bank account? You know, if you have a large bank account, probably feel pretty good about yourself, don't you? You know, you're driving a nice fancy car, feel real good about yourself. And that's the nature of man, to feel good about himself on the inside as a result of things around him. And self-esteem is at the core, really, of what you think and how you feel, what you say and what you do. It affects our thoughts and our actions. So what does every man base his esteem on is really key to his success. So what does man base his self-esteem on? For the most part, it is these things that we see around us, that we look upon in the world. And it is the house we live in many times, or, you know, our job, our position, maybe even the wine we drink. Do we drink $2 Chuck? Or do we drink some fancy Pinot Noir? You know, makes us feel good that we live the high life sometimes, huh? And you know, it's interesting because the television people, the advertisers and magazines, television, they know what influences people so they feel good. And it's all these outside stimulus. So like in the magazines, you know, here's a magazine advertising this car. Now there's nothing in this article that tells you about the automobile, about how fast it goes, its reliability, some of the, you know, that it has four wheels or whatever. I mean, you can tell that by the picture, I guess. But on this advertisement, all it has in words, besides this big, beautiful car, is in your dreams, and then it has in your garage. And it's in a bracket, like in a sporting event. You know, you have two teams bracketed, and then the next bracket is the one who wins. And so, in your dreams, in your garage. And of course, it's saying in your garage with the idea that if you're going to dream about this, why not go all the way and put it in your garage? So it's interesting what appeals to man to make him feel good on the inside. I mean, even cigarette advertisements, it blows my mind. Even though they have the Surgeon General's warning that this smoke contains carbon monoxide, it still has this guy looking cool, right? Be authentic and smoke cools. Why? Because you're going to feel good. You know, you smoke this stuff, you're going to feel real good, real cool. So, I mean, you go on in here, and this is the nature of man. This is man's way of working and using these type things for a basis for their inward happiness and joy and peace. But as man's way is to look on the outward appearance, in contrast, it's God's way on the other hand to look on the inward appearance of man. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 16, if you would. 1 Samuel 16. Here's my glass. We look at the outward appearance to determine our inside value. God looks at the heart and not at the outward appearance. A man works outside in. God works inside out. Here in 1 Samuel 16, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, cometh thou peaceably? You know, here comes the man of God. Is he going to prophesy evil or goodness to us? So they're a little uptight here. And he said, peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. You know, here's Eliab. He's a good-looking guy, big, strong, you know, works out. He's got to be the one the Lord has called to be anointed. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And I say praise the Lord to that. You know, we're not perfect, are we? You know, we're not like Arnold, built like him, our governor. We all have different shapes and sizes and everything else like that. And in spite, as man looks at these anatomical proportions and tries to adjust them in their life, it's not what really makes man happy on the inside. There are better values or things to base our self-esteem on. But thankfully, the Lord doesn't look on the outside. He looks at the heart. It says, and I'll just share this verse with you. You can go to Proverbs 21, but in 2 Chronicles 16:9, I'll share this with you. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whoso heart is perfect toward him. So God is looking for what's on the heart, what's in the heart, what's in the depth of a man or a woman's soul. That's what he's concerned about. What's going on in the heart? Proverbs 21:2. Let's take a look at it. Proverbs 21, verse 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. Again, this is where God's looking. You know, we think everything we do is just right on, A-okay. But God's kind of looking at the heart. He looks at the heart of the matter. Proverbs 4, go back a little bit, chapter 4, verse 20. Verse 20, chapter 4, Proverbs. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So it's a heart matter. It's a matter of the heart. It says also in Proverbs 23, it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So is he. So when we talk about developing the quality of a person, it's on the inside that really counts, isn't it? It's not all the outside factors of, you know, the clothes we wear, the car we drive so much, the house we live in, you know, how big's our wallet, the title that we may have, job title or position, you know, what we smoke, drink, or whatever. It's what's on the inside that counts. And God does an inside job when he has a relationship with you. When you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, what do you get? Do you get some great new outside appearance? Do you change visibly? Do you get a new house somewhere? No. Nothing happens on the outside, but something on the inside happens big time. You are born with incorruptible seed. And let's take a look at that in Peter, in the back of your Bibles here. 1 Peter chapter 1. You see, God's interested on the inside. What's going on in the inside? Not so much around you. Now, sure, God wants us to prosper and be in health. He wants us to have all these wonderful material things. But he works from the inside out rather than from the outside in. So many people in religions do things on the outside so they look good to God, don't they? Oh man, they just build these beautiful steeples and fancy buildings. So they look good to God, right? They get his approval. They do all these things, and yet what God looks on is the heart. What's going on in the heart? And that's why when you believe in your heart, then God can work very wonderfully. And of course, the new birth is the greatest thing you can have in your heart. The greatest thing you can believe is to get born again of God's Spirit. So, 1 Peter, you're all there, and I'm going to join you here in a second. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Here we go. It says, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth how long? Forever. See, this is what we're talking about. God's word lives forever. It's the word of God that's going to stay around forever. All the things that we have, it's going to be gone. Everything, all the efforts on the outside will come to naught. It's what's inside that counts. And we have that incorruptible seed, and that lives and abides forever. The Word of God lives and abides forever, and it's incorruptible, so that's got to live and abide forever as well. For all flesh is as the grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the Word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You see, let's go to 1 John. You're in Peter. Just move on over to the next epistle here in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. I tell you, every time I see this verse, I get excited. I've seen it many times. It's a great reality. And if I look at it from the sense of my heart and what's most important to me, then yeah, well, I will get excited about it every time. You know, if I'm more excited about the car I drive, where I go out in the garage, and every time I go out there, ooh, look at my Porsche here. Woo! And I am fat city, I am neat, because here's my Porsche. Man, every time I see it, you know, I just get built up. But see, for you and I, it's being sons of God. It's what's on the inside. When I speak in tongues, what's happening here? What's being utilized? The Spirit of God inside. The Spirit of God inside. It's proof that I am born again of God's Spirit, incorruptible seed, and I am a son of God. 1 John 3, 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now are we the sons of God. That's our identity in life. Our identity is not determined, again, by our position, the job we hold, the car we drive, our bank account, color of our skin, nationality. All that has no bearing. It's being born again of God's Spirit, incorruptible seed, eternal life. Now I'm son of God. Now I'm a son of God. What do you think that does for your self-esteem when you remember who you are on the inside? No matter what's going on during the day. You know, no matter what happens, if my boss says, hey, you're no good, am I still a son of God? I'm still a son of God. I can remember that. God looks at me and what does he see? Somebody that some boss told him down? Does he look at me like that and say, hey, you know, the boss got the best on you that time? No. He sees the Christ in me. He sees that I'm his child. And man, oh man, if we can, in our mind, look within as God looks within and see what God sees, that we're sons of God, then our self-esteem is just going to go, woof. We're just going to be able to handle all of life situations because we handle them as sons of God with power. Not just little old Bob who lives on a hill and has a little old car and works at this job or whatever. No, I'm a son of God. My Father's the creator of the heavens and the earth. Is that true? Is that more reality for you than all the other aspects of your life? I think we know that, but are we convinced of it? You know? And can we so continue to convince our brain cells that this is true so that we can walk with great power? It is phenomenal. Hebrews. Let's see. We're in John. Go backward through back through Peter, James, Hebrew chapter 2. You know, I remember times where I would be living life and then a thought would come to me and this thought would be, what happened if all of a sudden Jesus Christ appeared? And I'm kind of doing my thing in life, and all of a sudden Jesus Christ appears. You know how I felt when I had that thought? I said, ooh, man, I wouldn't want him to come this time. Jesus, don't come see me when I'm doing this. You know, and there's probably very few times, you know, that I can figure out that it would be good for him to pop on in and see how I'm doing. But look at this verse here, because this tells us his attitude, Jesus Christ's attitude when he looks at you and I, a brother in Christ. Chapter 2, verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Jesus Christ is not ashamed to call you brethren or sister, okay, whatever the gender. He's not. Jesus Christ would appear, you know what? Hey, brother in Christ, you know, brother in me or something like that. Yeah, we're joint heirs with Christ, right? He's our brother. He's our big brother. He's our perfect brother. We look up to him, but he does not look down at us. He sees us as his Father sees us, our Father sees us, as sons of God, as sons of God. It's a great reality. Hebrews, I'm sorry, we're already in Hebrews. Let's go to Romans 5. Go back. Acts, Romans chapter 5. These great realities are what we need to have advertised in our minds day in and day out. We see advertisements constantly on TV, just popping at us, grabbing our mind. Think this, think that, you got to have this. Boy, if you don't do this, you're going to miss out on that. If you don't take this pill, you're really going to be sick. You will not find a cure. Oh my goodness, and your mind just is bombarded every time we see all these advertisements, all these things in the magazines and everything else like that. But you know what the advertisements read in God's Word? Let's look at an advertisement. There's a great ad in God's Word here, chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, by believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have that one commodity that man will never, ever have until he comes to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and gets born again. Peace is an inside job, isn't it? You can have peace and all hell can be going on around you. I know our brother Joe Evans, he has said this in his communication. You know, things are crazy all around, but I have the peace of God within. And I can have that peace reigning in my life. Because it's what the advertisement says in God's Word. And if it's an ad in God's Word, it's going to be true every time. You cannot, where's my magazine? I lost it. Good. I don't need it. All those ads, bunch of baloney. All they're trying to do is to help me on the outside. And what I need to know is what's on the inside and keep that as a true realization. Let's read on because there's more here. By whom also we have access by the right way of believing into this grace wherein we stand and are bummed out because we have the hope of glory. No, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory also in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Hey, if we've got that mental pressure coming at us, we know we're doing God's Word. God's Word says we're going to have mental tribulation or mental stress because the adversary is an enemy. He wants to mess with our minds. That's why he likes, oh, here's the magazine. That's why he likes these magazines and all the other media forms so he can function to make sure that we're looking on the outside, making sure we're not looking in the heart, but we're looking at the outside of everything rather than the heart, because that's where God looks. If the Father looks on the heart, where should we be looking? The heart. The heart. But I tell you what, the adversary wants to mess with us, and we're going to have some opportunities there. So what are we going to do about it? Well, as we continue to take them on, what are we going to have? Patience, endurance, experience, and experience hope. In verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because we have the hope of Christ's return, and we're not ashamed of this hope. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. Man, we have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. That's what we can live. That's what we can function with. That's what we need to draw on. Not who we are in magazines, on television, but who we are in Christ as a son of God now. As a son of God now. For when we were yet without strength, you know, when we didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, when we didn't know how to get born again, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And this just goes on and on and on. This is a great ad in God's Word to continue to read. Look at Colossians. Look at Colossians. See what this says. That's why it's so wonderful, man, to first thing in the morning, the first thing to read would be God's Word. Colossians. Because this is what's God's telling you about yourself. How wonderful you are, what God has done through Christ. so that you can walk with great power, great peace. Colossians 1:21. It says, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind." You know, you were bad guys in your mind, okay? "By wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled," regained back. You know, what we did before we were born again had no value. It would be in the category of wicked works. "Yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." My golly. So ladies and gentlemen, I would like to present to you Shati, holy and unblameable and unreprovable in God's sight. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to present to you Al, holy and unblameable and unreprovable in God's sight. And I can go down the line. Wouldn't that be nice? You had a presentation. Heck, we got a stage here. Maybe we can use this and just all do these presentations and say what the truth is of who we are in Christ, every single one of us. I mean, if you got an award for coming to work on time for 1 month, you know, and you got this big badge, you'd be, "Whoa, I got the 1 month coming to work on time award," you know? But ladies and gentlemen, believers, you know, we are holy and without blame. We're presented. This is how God looks at us, holy and without blame, unreprovable in his sight. Romans, back to Romans chapter 8. We'll close here in Romans chapter 8. Just a section of God's word I've read hundreds of times. And I never get tired of reading this because this is the truth of God's word. 8:31. "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or what other people think about you, or the car you drive, or the car you don't drive, the clothes you wear or don't wear, the styles, good or bad, does it make any difference?" It talks about famine or nakedness even, or peril or sword, all these things. Are they going to separate us from the love of God? You've read ahead, haven't you? Well, it says, "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter." What's your response to that? No, nay, because that's what God's word says. "In all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." That's what we want to get into our mind. Man, when I see this and I continue to see it in my mind, do you think my self-esteem is pretty high? Yeah, I can feel good about myself because I'm more than a conqueror. Not because what I did, but what the Lord Jesus Christ did. Wow, this is more true, this is more true than any advertisement you've ever seen, any other statement that man has made. This is God's word. God told us in the manifestation to stay put on his word. It's his word. Stay put on it, and boy, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Pretty neat. Well, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, man, oh man. Hey, did God do a great inside job? Yeah. And you know, he looks upon the heart, not on the outward appearance. So, man, oh man, don't be so concerned about the outward appearance. Nothing wrong with looking good and doing whatever. But let's concentrate on the inside, because it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. And that's what I want to continue to remember, because that's what God did for us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What he did was to make a life, eternal life available, so that we could live forever with him. So Heavenly Father, we're very, very thankful that you have communicated to us through your word that we can see who we are in Christ, Father, that we can have that magnified in our hearts and minds above all the things that the world says we should be or should have or want. So, Father, nothing wrong with some of this stuff, but long as we magnify you. Because, Father, I know you want us to love you as you loved us, and that we can love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, because you've given us that great capacity with the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. So, Father, I just pray that we continue to grow and learn more and more of your word and have it more and more in the depth of our hearts so that we can walk out knowing that we are more than conquerors and that nothing can separate us from your wonderful love. So I pray for each and every person here having just a great week this week as they focus in on who they are in Christ and that they can walk dynamically and boldly as sons of God. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Well, God bless your hearts.